Well, I've added a few components here. What you're going to do is you're going to actually build a power supply that was called out earlier at the beginning of the web page. You do need to, of course, acquire a 9.1 volt Zener diode. I give a number, 1N4739. Those should be available at Radio Shack. I haven't checked, but they're not that uncommon. You need a 100 microfarad electrolytic capacitor of at least 10 volts, because it's going to be dropping about 9.1, some such like that. And a 100 ohm half watt resistor. The purpose of that resistor is not so much to limit the current, the capacitor is doing most of that, but when the power is first applied, you could close the switch or plug the plug in, however this thing gets, power applied to it. And you could do so that the switch is closed right at the top of the wave. This causes instantaneously whatever will assume 0 volts across the capacitor to suddenly try to absorb 170 volts, and that creates instantaneous currents that are very, very high. And those currents will go through the diode bridge and they'll rectify. The forward drop across the diodes at those currents is pretty high, but it's not going to damage the diodes inside the diode bridge. However, a Zener diode works a little differently than normal diodes do. Oh, well, yeah, if you forward bias a Zener diode, it works like a normal silicon diode. But they're used backwards. What you're doing is you're relying on the breakdown potential of the diode to actually regulate or clamp the voltage. A Zener diode will conduct in the reverse direction, as any diode does. If you go beyond its breakdown voltage, it will start conducting, and it'll conduct at a certain voltage that's inherent in the device. Well, Zener diodes are purposely made to have a calibrated breakdown voltage. That is, that is part of their rating. They're actually, whenever they give you a Zener diode, it's a diode of a certain voltage, and boy, they mean it's right at that voltage, not that, well, this is a diode that's good for 75 volts, and well, there might be some in the bag that are 200 volt diodes. No. With a Zener diode, if they tell you that it's a 9 volt Zener diode, it's 9 volts within a small tolerance. And they actually, after manufacture, they actually go back and check them to make sure before they sell them to you that they really are within spec. Dropping 9 volts and having a sudden inrush of 170 volts trying to go through that capacitor, the current that results in that, and the fact that you're dropping 9 volts would probably stress the Zener diode badly enough that instances of that would probably permanently damage it. So you put a little 100 ohm resistor in there so that the current is limited to a maximum of a little over 1 amp, and that keeps that limits the current for 1/2 cycle. And that's the only thing you're worried about, is that sudden inrush whenever you first make a connection. After that, the capacitor is doing all the limiting. So when you first plug it in, you probably see a pulse across the resistor. It's probably so short you wouldn't be able to see it with a meter. You'd need a scope or something. And then after it settles out, you wouldn't see much of anything across the resistor. Oh, maybe a volt or two, but it won't be very much. And because of that, the resistor won't dissipate heat. It's just there for that first connection, that first point whenever the juice is switched on, to absorb the inrush current. It's necessary, but it's not part of the... In other words, the reactive element is doing most of the current limiting once the circuit is running. And then, of course, there's the 100 microfarad 10 volt capacitor. The purpose of that, I mentioned it earlier, the purpose of that is just to kind of smooth out the voltage so that whenever the AC signal goes across the zero line, there's still something there to provide power. It's sort of residually stored in the capacitor. When you build this thing, if you look down below, I've drawn it out as a schematic diagram, laid out pretty much as before on the top schematic, actually showing the details of the suicide cord hooked up to the lamp and everything, and where you hook your meter up so that you can actually observe the 9 volts that this thing generates. And, well, as you can see, the diode bridge is a rather awkward-looking thing to draw a diagram for, because you end up having traces jump over the bottom of other traces, and it just looks kind of kludgy. That is, in fact, how they're wired inside the device, but it looks awful. So I offer an alternative below, and that alternative is, it's the same exact circuit. It's really no different. It's just that I've rearranged the diodes inside the bridge so that you proceed evenly from left to right as you go. In other words, you come into the diode bridge at the left and you go out of the diode bridge with DC rectified voltage on the right, and it looks a whole lot nicer that way. But if you actually follow the lines of the circuits, you'll discover that there is no difference. They are identical circuits. It's just that one looks a lot nicer on paper. It doesn't look like it is in reality. And part of the reason that I did this, I discussed earlier on the notion that a wire is just, at least a schematic of a wire, is just a point. And that everything along the point is considered to be, or everything along the wire is just considered to be the same point. And once you recognize that, you can rearrange a circuit in a million different ways. Well, this is one example of that, and it makes the circuit actually nicer to draw, makes it flow better. And eventually you'll start getting used to some of these configurations for kind of standard, you know, devices or clusters of devices that do something clever. At any rate, you hook all this up, put your meter selected on the voltage range. You probably want to use the 10 volt range. If the circuit is actually working properly, you should see just a little bit over 9 volts if the Zener diode is indeed a 9.1 volt Zener diode. I show the little band on the Zener diode. Usually the Zener diode is kind of black with sort of some silvery ink on it, and it forms a little band at one end. And that band is, in this case, the cathode, well, it's always the cathode, but in this case, the cathode connects to the positive terminal of the diode bridge, and the anode connects to the negative terminal. That's the side without the band. And the positive of the 100 microfarad capacitor, that's a polarized cap. Electrolytic capacitors tend to be polarized. It's important to get those right. But if you get all this right, you'll end up with a nice little 9-volt power supply that'll deliver about 40 milliamps, which isn't much. It would, however, if you managed to get this power supply working, it would, however, power a 9-volt transistor radio. Not turned up very loud. But if you don't, you know, if you don't turn it up real loud, you know, the louder you turn it up, the more current it'll draw. If you don't turn it up too loud, a little 9-volt transistor radio will operate on this power supply. Now, you really wouldn't want to make a plug-in radio out of a circuit like this because it's not isolated. In other words, you'd run into some real problems trying to get the UL to go along with directly wiring a device that's normally designed for battery operation. And when they design something for battery operation, they don't take into account the 8mm creepage specification that is required on all manufactured devices. But if you really wanted to do this, you make sure that there's no metal on the outside of the plastic box that is the radio, nothing to conduct voltages from inside the radio. This means probably you eliminate the antenna if it has one. Most radios don't work very well without an antenna unless they're an AM radio that has a little loop stick on the inside, and that's its antenna. But it's conceivable with a little AM radio, you disconnect the headphone jack and kind of remove it so that there's no way a person could come in contact with it. You could end up with a radio that had a couple of prongs sticking out the back that you just literally take this radio and kind of, you know, plug it directly into the outlet, and it would be a 110-volt radio that would look something like a wall wart. if you really want to build something like that, I would suggest that you use something on the order of a 5 microfarad capacitor, and they actually make a 5-watt version of this 9.1-volt Zener diode. You're going to need a higher wattage Zener diode. The Zener diode is what regulates the voltage. Like I said, a Zener diode at some crucial voltage, whatever they're spec'd for, draws more current, and they tend to clamp a voltage that's just fed by a current. They tend to clamp it and regulate it right at that voltage. They're not the greatest regulators. They vary about like maybe 10% or so, depending on the current going through them. They're not real tight, but they're close enough for, you know, a 9-volt transistor radio or something. More than anything else, this is just an experiment to get you acquainted with a kind of a cute little power supply and an interesting phenomenon. But like I say, you could actually expand upon this and build a wall wart radio if you wanted to. Only thing is, I would caution you, make darn sure that you understand, you know, that you need to make certain that there's no way that any metal, you know, any metal that's carrying current from inside the radio can make contact with somebody that, you know, is going to touch the dials. Now, on transistor radios, most of the dials are made of plastic, so I throw that out. But, you know, be very careful when you design something like that if you choose to. So anyway, probably what you'll end up using a circuit like this for is some clever device that you'll invent that I won't have any idea of. I could think of a few. Little microprocessors draw very little energy, and maybe you want something to respond to a series of infrared pulses that come from your TV remote control, and maybe turn on a relay or a switch or something to, I don't know, maybe power the motor in your automated drapes or something. I don't know. Have a special, you know, TV remote control button that you push to open the curtains, right? Well, whatever. But something like that would draw very little power, and it does need 5 volts, so instead of a 9.1-volt Zener diode, you'd use probably a 5.1, because that's probably the closest. The next one down is 4.7. And that probably wouldn't be quite enough to run the circuit well enough. But the point is that this is a pretty flexible little circuit, and it can be useful for a lot of things. But again, it's a non-isolated power supply. It's actually grounded right to the 110-volt circuitry, so if it's not properly insulated, it is dangerous. At any rate, there's not a whole lot more to say on this other than that, you know, I hope it works out for you, and I hope you, you know, find it interesting. And on to the next one.